You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by Northside Bible Church.
And do we have any announcements this morning? If there are no more announcements, we'll go to the scripture reading in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. And you hath he made alive, who are dead in trespasses and sins, in which times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all had our manner of life in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath made us alive together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And Father God, we just want to ask your blessing on this, the reading of your holy word. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake, amen.
Before we get into this, let's begin with prayer. Father God, do thank you for this study on the two natures and the child of God. What a great need we have to understand that there is a conflict, a constant conflict going on in our life. So even as Paul, we sometimes experience the fact that we cannot do the things that we want to do, and we do the things that we don't want to do. But we thank you for that conflict. We thank you for this study. We thank you for the great expertise of Mr. Dr. Bullinger and all that he has shared in his pamphlet. Thank you for the opportunity to enjoy that study for myself. So, Lord, we pray that each heart need be met. We pray, Lord, that your Spirit, as we go through this summary, take the things of Christ and make them real to us so that we might walk in a faith that's holy and built up. And we thank you for these blessings and this grace in Christ Jesus' name for his sake. Amen. Two natures in the child of God. We all experience it. We've talked about it for weeks and weeks and weeks. And one of the things we talked about, well, it's not working, champ. I pulled the trigger. Okay, let's pull that trigger. You remember who this is? Okay, Flip Wilson. Many times when we experience these problems, we think it was the devil that made us do it. Remember that?
Yeah.
It wasn't the devil. It's not the devil. As much as we like to think that we're good, we need to have a proper assessment of who we are and what God thinks about us. And vile are we in his sight. It's not the devil that makes us do it. We have this fight, though. This conflict goes on inside us. We want to do what's good. We want to do what's honorable. We want to do what demonstrates integrity. But yet, there's a battle. We do the things we don't want to do, and we don't do the things we want to do. So this comes from the two natures and the child of God. It's a pamphlet, a little booklet by Dr. Bullinger. We see that there are two natures, and the main verse we studied in the last few weeks is John chapter 3, verse 6. That which is flesh, and that which is spirit. Can't change that. God says that the battle between these two is evident in Galatians 5:17, because the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. These are contrary, the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. So how can you do the things that you would? And what are the things that you'd want to do if you could do the things that you would? We're going to find that out as we get on towards the end of the study, how to do it. But right now, the main thrust was to realize that the flesh and the spirit lust against each other, and they're contrary one to the other. Never forget that fact. No matter how much you think that your flesh is refined, no matter how educated and informed it may be, the flesh is still what? Still flesh. This is a picture that comes from a book called Pilgrim's Progress. That's a polyon. That comes from Revelation. That's Pilgrim there in the battle against the devil. This really is a good picture in that it does reflect that we do have an enemy, a sinister enemy. He's not your friend. If you were in quicksand, he'd jump on your head and bounce up and down. He doesn't want you to listen to the right kind of music. He'd rather you listen to music that draws you away from the Lord. He doesn't want you to read the right kind of books. He doesn't want you to go to the right kind of movies. He will do everything he can to defeat you as a Christian. Now, those who aren't Christians, who have never been born again, do not have that new nature. They don't experience this battle. La-di-da-di-da as they go down the street. Reminds me of that. Remember that movie, Gone with the Wind? And do you remember when Melanie was upstairs having a baby? And Scarlett sent Priscilla, is her name Priscilla, down to get the doctor and she doesn't come. Here's Priscilla. She's just dragging a stick across the fence, you know, picket fence. La-di-da-di-da. Unborn people have no idea about the conflict. But to the Christian, the experience in life is constant. It is a constant conflict. And the result is confusion a lot of times, disquietude, and discouragement in our walk. But that's good because that identifies us as the children of God. What are these names and the characteristics of the old nature? We have the flesh, the natural man, the old man, the outward man, the heart, the carnal mind, and sin. The flesh, a lot of times we think of as just being the... Have you seen this before, this chart? Okay, the threefold nature of man. That's not a very clear one. I had to take a small picture and blow it up. But if you can see it, there's the body up here, the soul is this second one, and then the spirit on the inside. The flesh, we might consider it the outside part. And down here are the five senses by which things enter in. They're called gates, I think, in the study. This is done by a man named Hayden.
Larkin.
Oh, is that Larkin's chart? Okay. Yeah, Clarence Larkin, that's right. Larkin's chart. They enter through these gates down here, our eyes, our ears, our nose, our touch, our taste, and come into. But that's not, when we talk about the flesh, we're not necessarily talking about just the body. We're talking about a name that God gives, the old nature. And it says in Galatians 6:8, he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. Three things we learned is that it, the flesh, cannot please God. It profits nothing, and there is in it no good thing. Everybody getting warm? Okay. Oh, it's getting hot up here. The second name was the natural man in 1 Corinthians 2:14. The natural man receiveth not the things of God, of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. He receives not the things of God, this verse tells us. The things of God are foolishness to him, and he cannot know them. The need that every man has is to be born again. The natural man can't be born again. The natural man has to die. The natural man has to be put away. The natural man cannot receive the things of God. So when it comes to the truth of God, those things are things that he can't follow. He can't understand. He can't cooperate. He can't obey because he's the natural man. He doesn't receive them. Here's a guy. Who's this make you think of? Yeah. Who? Pharaoh. Now think for a minute about Pharaoh. Think about the 10 plagues that he received. Flies, lice, pestilence, fire from heaven, the death of their firstborn. You would think after two or three of those that he would have changed his mind and not hardened his heart. But because he was a natural man, he just refuses to believe that God is in control. And even when he went chasing after Moses and all the children of the Hebrews that were leaving Egypt, and all of his men, all of his their chariots and all of their horses were killed in that water when the Red Sea came back together, he still hardened his heart. The natural man cannot receive the things of God. Another name, the third name, is the old man. In Ephesians, we're told that we put off concerning the former conversation, the old man. That's our behavior. It is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. So the things we learned is that, first of all, the old man is corrupt. The old man is deceivable. The old man is lustful. And we are to put him off. How do you put him off? How do you put off the old man? What we learn and what we'll see later is we meditate on the Word of God day and night. So you have an opportunity. You have an opportunity to begin every day. You don't do it on Sunday. You don't do it once or twice a week. The idea is to do it every day. Blessed is the man who meditates on the Word of God, and he meditates on it day and night. So every day you wake up and you've got 86,400 seconds to do something with. Every day. And how hard is it to spend 1 second in prayer? 10 seconds, 30 seconds. How about 5 minutes in the Word? Reading, just reading. I don't know, a lot of times if when I sit down and read, if there's any impact or study, or in, if I get any cognizant benefit from it. That's the old man, trying to understand it, trying to know it. God is dealing with you in a spiritual area. That which is spirit is spirit. Anybody here seen a spirit? No. We don't understand that area of our life. We don't understand it, but God understands it. And so all we're supposed to do is be obedient. If we marginalize Scripture, if we neglect Scripture, we neglect the very thing that we need in order to defend ourselves against the wiles of the devil. We are to put off this old man. We're not to be subject anymore to the old man. You remember this guy? You remember C.D. Blaylock? He's the only guy I've ever heard of in the history of boxing that knocked himself out. He was in a fight and he threw a right uppercut and he missed the guy and came up and hit him right. Oh, I didn't want to hit that button. Came up and hit him. Oh, I didn't want to hit that button. Hit himself right in the nose and knocked himself out. That was the old man. I thought I could go back, but I can't. Something's going on here. Oh, there's a button underneath. I didn't know that. All right, the outward man. Thank you. Thank you. There's the old man. I don't know if this is a picture of C.D. Blaylock, but I got a picture of a boxer and put him up there. You fight that all the time. Okay. The next name, the outward man, 2 Corinthians 4:16. For which cause we faint not. What cause is that? If you remember the study we talked about, we have and we hold this treasure in an earthen vessel. So we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. From this we learn that it's a daily burden. The outward man, because he does perish day by day, daily we have a burden. And daily he is perishing. And I'm always reminded, and Betty Metter and I have talked about this several times, about that poem that Mac read to us, A Dead Man Walks With Me. Is that the right name of that? I tried to find a copy to put up there, but there is a dead man that walks with me, and he hinders you, and he hinders me. But one thing you know, that as sure as anything, is that death is inevitable. Life is fatal. The older we get, the more cognizant we are of it. When we're young, we're kind of what's the word I want to use? Not denial. No, huh? not denial, but we think we're going to, you know, we're King Kong, we can live forever.
Impervious
or not susceptible to it. But death is going to get us. And there is, even between now and that time, there is a dead man that walks with me. The next one that we looked at was the heart. You remember that? You know, the road to hell, they say, is paved with good what? And the heart is deceitful. This is God's recognition. It's what He says, above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Our Lord said when He was here in the flesh that out of the heart come all kinds of terrible things. Adultery, fornication, murder. So never forget the fact that the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Who can know it? King Saul had a position he had in the history of Israel, the first king. Up until Saul was chosen as king, there was a theocracy. And so they had priest rulers. You remember who that was? A guy named Samuel. And Saul came on the scene, and Saul had a heart that we would think would be towards God. But do you remember what Saul did? He offered sacrifice, and it wasn't in his position, because he was king, not priest, to offer sacrifice. Desperately wicked. The next thing we had was the carnal mind. The carnal mind, Bullinger said, this aspect of the old nature is even more serious than the others. The others relate rather to acts and conditions and character. But this relates to thoughts, to the mental activities and reasonings and imaginations of the natural man. The carnal mind. This guy understands it better than anybody else. This is Lucifer from the internet. I don't know what he looks like. I figured this would be better than a guy with a tail and horns and a pitchfork. You just see what he's doing? Yeah, he's thinking about how to disrupt life. And he has a whole host of demons that have come against us. Now, you want to have a blessing in life, you think about the different words that God, the names that God has given our Lord. But if you want to have a reality check, think of the names that He's given to this guy. The evil one, the deceiver, the deceptor, the man of sin. And there's many more. He has one purpose in life, or in his existence, and that is to destroy the things of God. The carnal mind. Because the carnal mind, it says in Romans, is enmity against God. It's not subject to the law of God. Neither indeed can be. It is that enmity is a deep-seated hatred. Remember, the carnal mind is not subject to the law of God, and no matter how hard we try, we cannot make it subject to the law of God. Compare that with the mind of God. God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. The carnal mind is a lot like Charlie Brown. Never does learn. No matter how many times Lucy tries to deceive him, he falls for it because he is deceivable. And he thinks he's going to kick that ball up through the uprights. I always like Charlie Brown when I think about that cartoon that showed him on a cruise ship. And it said that some people sit in the back of the boat to see where they've been. And some people sit on the front of the boat in their lounge chairs to see where they're going. And some people sit in the middle of the boat to see where they are. The next picture shows Charlie Brown fighting this lounge chair, and he says, I can't even get my chair set up. You know, the thing is, that guy right there, Charlie, that's not just you. Sometimes that's me. Sometimes that's, you know, the person sitting next to you. Everybody makes mistakes. everybody ends up in a situation sometimes they didn't want to be in and circumstances they didn't want to deal with. We need to remember mercy and compassion because even when we were yet sinners, Christ died for our sins. The last name of the old nature is sin. Not sins, sin. Sin is the root, sins are the fruit. Sin is our Adamic nature. It's what has been given and handed down to us by our first parents. Romans 5:12 says, "Wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." But there is a solution to that. There is a solution to that. Romans 5:21 goes on to say that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. God says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. God says the wages of sin is death. And He's taken care of that. He's provided us the solution. And here's the old nature trying to figure it out, trying to think about it. We used to have a game we played a lot when Sherry's mom and dad were alive, and it was called Clabber. Haven't played Clabber in a long time, but I remember Uncle Ray, whenever he played, always say, "Think long, do wrong." There's God's solution, the cross. We need to remember that. That has a tremendous impact on our life to go back there and contemplate and meditate that He loved us so much that He gave His only begotten Son so that we might have eternal life. A man must be born again. A woman must be born again to enjoy this new nature. It's the only solution God has. John 3:3, Jesus answered to Nicodemus, said, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." The new nature is what God gives us. And the names of the new nature are in Scripture found: the Spirit, the divine nature, the new man, the inward man, the mind, the Spirit of Christ, and the Spirit of God. When you're born again, it's a new day. Our memory verse is 2 Corinthians 5:17. "Behold, old things have passed away. All things have become new." And that's the life that it is in the new man. That's not just the day that you were saved. That's not just the moment you realize that your sins have been washed away and cleansed forever. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a what? Crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. It's a new day. The name, the first name is Spirit. Remember in John 3:6, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the Spirit is what? Spirit." And so now I am crucified with Christ, Paul writes. "Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but it's Christ that lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me." You know that thought there. Let's see, the life. Sorry, right here. "The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the..." You know why you have to live that life by faith? Because that flesh continues to make mistakes. That flesh continues to upset you. And if you don't understand that that's not really you, it'll cause discouragement and disappointment and deprive you of the victory that God has already accomplished for you. "That which is born of the Spirit," it says, "is Spirit." It's not anything that's given to us by the will of man. It's not anything given to us by another. It's not anything that's given to us by blood, relationship. It is something that's given to us by God. It is a partaker of the nature of the Holy Spirit. This new nature does not sin. Why? Because it has partaken of the gift that God gave us in the death of His Son by faith. The new nature, the second name, is the divine nature. 2 Peter 1:4, "Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of" what? "The divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. We learned this divine nature was begotten of God. It's an incorruptible seed. That seed is given birth through the Word of God, by the incorruptible Word of God. And this new nature is divine nature is a partaker of His promise in Christ. The new man, it's the third name of the new nature, Ephesians 4:24. We are to put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. He's righteous, He's blameless, He's made according to the image of Him that created Him. We are to put Him on. How do we do that? I think we've covered that a little bit in the way that we put off the old man. We put on the new man by finding out that the new man rejoices and joys in the Word of God. He rejoices and joys in the relationship that he finds with God through prayer and meditation. Remember Zacchaeus? He's a little man. He couldn't see Jesus as he walked down the streets or as he was preaching, so he climbed up in a tree. Zacchaeus is a type or a picture of a man who has what? Enjoyed the new nature. And you remember what Zacchaeus did first thing? He changed his relationships with everybody. First thing he did, he changed his relationships with everybody. So I guess those that he used to steal from, he didn't steal anymore. Those he used to lie to, he didn't lie to anymore. Maybe even those he used to go out and party with, he didn't go out and party with them anymore. Next one is the inward man. Remember we talked about this guy, the inward man. He delights in the law of God after the inward man. And verse 2 Corinthians 4:16, though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. He meditates on the Word of God. Remember Psalms chapter 1. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, or stands in the way of sinners, or sits in the seat of the scornful. But in his law, God's law, he doth meditate both day and night. Yeah, someone's up there quoting it. That's right. And his leaf will never wither, and everything that he does will prosper. You got to remember, though, you're not going to prosper according to the yardstick of the world. The yardstick of the world is a false balance. It's an improper measurement. That is Cheryl's picture. Here's a man, another type, Paul. The Apostle Paul gives us, and I love this picture because, I mean, look what he is doing. He is in prison, and he is studying the Word of God. The mind, it's not your will, it's not your emotions, it's not your volition. These are activities of the old nature. The mind, when used in this passage in Romans 7:25, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with a mind, I myself serve the law of God. This is another name of the new man, the new nature. It's a new nature. It serves the law of God. It brings your thoughts. It brings your thoughts into captivity to Christ. C.S. Lewis, brilliant writer, incredible Christian, wrote a book called Screwtape Letters. What an expose he gave in that book about the mind of man. And Wormwood, constantly there listening to the instructions of Uncle Screwtape, Wormwood is constantly trying to upset the apple cart. I use C.S. Lewis because he's just a mental, one of those guys that's got a great mind, but he knew how important it was to bring the mind under the captivity, the thoughts into the captivity of Christ. The sixth and next to the last name of the new nature was Christ's Spirit, Romans 8:9. In fact, we see the sixth and seventh in this verse. You are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. This is not another name for the Holy Spirit. This is the new you. And this is not a separate spirit distinct from the Holy Spirit. You know what I mean by that? When Christ was on the cross, he said, "My Spirit I commend unto you." There, when Christ was talking about that, he was talking about his Spirit as you and I understand that psychological makeup of who we are. Not the Holy Spirit, or not a separate and distinct Spirit of Christ that's separate from the Holy Spirit. So now we have four people that we might, or four persons of the Godhead. That's not what this is at all. This is a new name, or a name for the new nature, Christ's Spirit. This is what energizes us to pray, to read, to meditate, to witness, to fellowship. Christ's Spirit. The last is God's Spirit. It comes from God. He is a creator. He is the giver. So man has an opportunity now to know God. Man has an opportunity to study the Word of God. Man has an opportunity to please God and to be found acceptable because of what Christ has done. There are still the two natures in the child of God. The flesh lusts against the Spirit. Not only does it lust, the two are contrary one to the other. And the fight continues. We have this battleground that goes on. And the works of the flesh we know are manifest. They are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. These were what we called sexual sins. Then we had spiritual sins, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies. And then we had social sins, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Which I tell you before, as I've also told you in the past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But if we walk in the Spirit, we won't fulfill the lust of the flesh, but we will do the things of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit, the love, the joy, the peace. This was the inward look. Remember when we studied that? We had the inward look, the outward look, and the upward look. The inward look took the first three, love, joy, and peace. Those things came from God, love. God's the only one who knows how to love. We are to love, and we cannot love the way He wants us to love unless we know Him. Joy. Remember the joy? And Jesus said, "My joy I give unto you." And the peace that comes from God that passes all understanding. That's the inward look. Our lives need to have love and joy and peace. The outward look then allows us to be patient and gentle and good. And the upward look is faith, meekness, and temperance. Against such there is no law. Ephesians 2, 8 through 10, "For by grace are ye saved through faith. That not of yourself, it's the gift of God." Every day you need to remember that God has given you a treasured gift, your salvation, your eternal life. You're never, a man said, ready to live until you're afraid not to die. The believer knows he's already dead. The believer's already died in Christ. He died 2,000 years ago on that cross. "I am crucified," Paul said, "with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. But it's not I who live, it's Christ who lives in me." So salvation and Christian liberty comes not from anything that we do to find acceptance in the eyes of God. It's all the work of God, the second one. Not of works, lest any man should boast. We are His workmanship. We have been created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in. Oh, that's it. That's the end. That's just a recap of everything that we did the last few weeks. You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church.
Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.